Welcome into God's house. Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren for the sermon titled, How Long? Well, until. And our scripture today comes from Job chapter 19, first 27 verses. And it's going to take you a minute to find that if you haven't been there for a while. The state trooper couldn't believe his eyes. He's looking out through his windscreen, and right there in front of him was a 1969 Chrysler New Yorker. He couldn't believe what he was seeing, and he punched up the lights and tripped the siren, and the big old car pulled to the side of the road. And he eased up on the side of it, and he looked in, and he saw two men sitting there, and they were of advanced age. And the man driving the car said, "Why did you pull me over?" And the trooper says, "How old are you?" The man says, "I'm 90 years old and I still know how to drive and I wasn't doing anything wrong. I wasn't speeding." The trooper said, "That's not why I pulled you over. You weren't going the speed limit." And they got into an argument. And finally the trooper said, "What do you mean you were going the speed limit?" And the man said, "I know how to read signs. The sign said 33 miles an hour." And the trooper looked at him for a moment and said, "That's the route number. You're traveling at the route number speed. It's route 33. And the man said, "Oh." And the trooper leaned in and looked a little further at the other fellow sitting in the car, shaking and shivering. His face was all pale and he had been sweating. He said, "What in the world is wrong with him?" He said, "Oh, it's nothing. That's my brother." The trooper said, "What in the world is wrong with him?" And the man leaned up and looked at him past his brother and said, "You should have seen us when we was on route 151. Then Job replied, "How long will you torment me and crush me with your words? 10 times now you have reproached me. Shamelessly you attack me. If it is true that I have gone astray, my error remains my concern alone. If indeed you would exalt yourselves above me and use my humiliation against me, then know that God has wronged me and has drawn his net around me. Though I cry, I've been wronged, I get no response. Though I call for help, there is no justice. He has blocked my way so I cannot pass. He has shrouded my paths in darkness. He has stripped me of my honor and removed the crown from my head. He tears me down on every side till I'm gone. He uproots my hope like a tree. His anger burns against me. He counts me amongst his enemies. His troops advance in force. They build a siege ramp against me and encamp around my tent. He has alienated my brothers from me. My acquaintances are completely estranged from me. My kinsmen have gone away. My friends have forgotten me. My guests and my maidservants count me as a stranger. They look upon me as an alien. I summon my servant, but he does not answer. Though I beg him with my mouth, my breath is offensive to my wife. I am loathsome to my own brothers. Even the little boys scorn me. When I appear, they ridicule me. All my intimate friends detest me. Those I love have turned against me. I am nothing but skin and bones. I have escaped with only the skin of my teeth. Have pity on me, my friends, have pity, for the hand of God has struck me. Why do you pursue me as God does? Will you never get enough of my flesh? Oh, that my words were recorded, that they had been written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Let us ask for God's power and wait to these words as we seek him in prayer. Father, we come before you today with the word that you have given. We pray that this sermon strengthens us. We pray that it's something we can understand as yet another part of you leading us through life. Use these words to walk us ever closer to your Son, Jesus, Bless them and bless us through this. In your name we pray. And his children said, Amen. You know, there is a lot of things out there that claim to be the concrete truth. And the problem with the concrete truth is, it gets me in trouble at about 1 o'clock in the morning when I can't sleep. When I'm downstairs, sitting in front of the television set, and I flick it on because I can't sleep, and suddenly it's infomercial land. And all the announcers, and this is the truth, you'll never need another set of knives for the rest of your life. Why, look, we can cut concrete with this and slice a tomato so thin you can look straight through it. I gotta have them. Where's my wallet? And my wife hides my wallet from me. And they claim to be truth, and I know it's not truth because I bought a set of those knives once and a long time ago, and I went out and hacked a piece of concrete with them and came back in. I could have used a hammer on that tomato and made less mess than that. But there is a concrete truth. Children, why? Say amen. If you're a parent, you know, don't tell me that your children were any better than anybody else's, because at some point in time, children whine. I was at a picnic recently and witnessed a scene that has brought me humor. A young lad was trying to throw a basketball into a basketball hoop. They had one of those temporary basketball things that you put out there in the driveway, and it's held down with a block. And he's trying, and he's this tall. He's just about the size of Hunter. And the basket hoop was about that tall. And he was throwing that ball. And every time he threw that ball and missed, because the ball would arc like this, he'd whimper. And everybody was picnicking on until finally the father, or I guess the father, took pity on him. And they worked to lower the basketball hoop down to where he could throw the ball. And the minute he got it down there and the young lad was able to reach up and throw the ball at the hoop, when he threw it, all the other kids took that as a sign that it was time to play, and they came and they took the basketball from him and they started playing. And he started crying. And I'm watching all this with great anticipation because I've got a feeling I know what's coming. And he went huffing and stomping off into a corner of the garage. And he walked around and he leaned up against the wall. I was like, here it comes. And the dad walks over there and he goes, what? And he goes, how long till we leave here? I knew that was coming. And for those of you who think I'm not that intelligent, well, for the most part, you're right. But that time I called it. How long? How long? How long till we get there? How long till Christmas? How long till supper? How long till you're done churning ice cream? Let me tell you something. We make ice cream during the summer the old-fashioned way. We get a bucket and ice and ice cream mix, and we sit there and we crank that thing by hand until this arm is longer than that arm so that you can get that ice cream out of there, that the minute it comes out, you look down in there, where did it all go? And all I hear, because I am the chief cranker man, I'm the one that pulls it in at the end of it when it's getting too tough for everybody else to crank. And all I hear is, how long, how long, how long, how long, how long? And I keep thinking, one of these days when I'm cranking ice cream and somebody says that to me, I'm going to wait till everybody's back is turned and I'm going to put that bucket in the truck and drive away. I'm going to tell you how long it is. How long it's going to take you to go to the store while I eat what I made. Children, why? I mean, really, how long till this? How long till that? And I understand now, being a dad, why my parents said, until then, or until it's time, or, well, until. And guess what, brothers and sisters? Us adults whine too. Anybody want to say amen to that? Awful quiet all of a sudden. I heard a couple of honest people go, amen. We know you whine, Paul. That's not about me. Even Jesus, even our Savior, asked the simple question, how long? In Matthew 17, in verse 14, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire, into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Verse 17, O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. And the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. To those Christians who are always in a hurry, who are always wanting to know how long, A.B. Simpson, the 19th century preacher, had these words to say, beloved, have you ever thought that someday you will not have anything to try you or anyone to vex you again? He said vex. That's a word that we need to bring back into culture. I'm going to make notes, start trying to say, woman, thy vexed me. How do you think my wife's going to do with that one? I'll let you know the results next week. There will be no opportunity in heaven to learn or to show the spirit of patience, forbearance, and long-suffering. If you are to practice these things, it must be now. Yes, every day affords countless opportunities to learn patience. Let's not waste them. Commenting on our need for this virtue, M.H. Lamp, the great evangelist, said, God's best gifts come slowly. We could not use them if they did not. Many a man called of God to work in which he is pouring out his life is convinced that the Lord means to bring his efforts to successful conclusion. Nevertheless, even such a confident worker grows discouraged at times and worries because results do not come as rapidly as they desire. But grow in strength and waiting, and these results are often so impatiently longed for that we forget what we have in front of us. Paul had time to realize this as he lay in prison. Moses must have asked why many times during the delays in Midian and in the wilderness. Jesus himself experienced the discipline of delay in his silent years before his great public ministry began. They go on to write from this excerpt from Our Daily Bread, God wants us to see results as we work for him, but his first concern is our growth. That's why he often withholds success until we have learned patience. The Lord teaches us this needed lesson through the blessed discipline of delay. That's hard to listen to. That's hard to hear. Every year about this time, I start to waller. And for those of you on the other side of the camera that may not be country, wallering is when you get down in the mud and you slop around and you just got to be there where it's all dirty. Every time about this time of year, I start to waller a little bit because I know what's coming. I go to talk to those that check on me and my preaching, and the questions are always asked, how you doing? How's the church? How's the growth? Maybe that influenced me this week. I don't know. But things have fell into the way that have made me become that person. How long? Circle back to Job and the human condition. How long will you torment me and crush me with words? Job is mad at Bildad, his friend, his great friend, of the four that have come to him and have laid into him because Job was so great. Job had everything. Amongst his peers, there was no equal. Job stood here and walked here with God. Job was God's child. He had wealth. He had lands. He had this. He had that. In the Bible, it says his barn was full of tractors. Called them camels, but, you know, and oxen. But I'm just translating to today's world. And God was so proud of him. And the devil said, let me have a crack at him. And God said, I'll show you that Job will stand tall. And tore him down. And his friends come to him. And when you're at the lowest point, some of your friends are the greatest people to have around you, aren't they? No, they are not. What did you do wrong? What did you do to make God mad? What did you do wrong? And that's what his friends are saying. And Job responding to him at the midpoint. Why are you tormenting me with these words? You keep attacking me. You keep reproaching me. If this is my fault, then it's my business. Mine. If I did it, I did it. And now you want to use this to make yourselves exalted above me in my time and in my sorrow. And in those moments, the human condition kicks wide open. It just can't get any worse. And Job goes on into it. For he sees God has forsaken him, has gone against him. Though I cry, I've been wronged, I get no response. Whining, how long? Though I call for help, there is no justice. He has blocked my way, so I cannot pass. And Job goes on to talk about everything God has done to him. We pray that prayer every Sunday, the Lord's Prayer, and a lot of you pray it on your own. I do. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is God a God that would test us by destroying us? No. I've told you what has happened to me time and time again. The stuff that led me to become a pastor, however many years ago it was, October of 2007, the stuff that led me to that was not God's doing. It was Paul and Leatherman III's big mouth. And he is seeing God as the tormentor. And he is pointing out the human condition. When things are going wrong, it just can't be anything I've done. Or why, God? Or why? And he is coming around through these scriptures and walking this through his head. And he's giving us something to follow. In verse 13, he talks about how I've been alienated, my brothers from me. My acquaintances are completely estranged. My family's gone. My breath stinks. My maidservants and my servants and all the people won't answer me. Little boys make fun of me in the street because I am such a hard thing to look at. My closest friends move away from me. Have pity on me, my friends, have pity, for the hand of God has struck me. Why do you pursue me as God does? He's talking again to his four friends. Now in verse 23, we find something kind of curious happen. Job says, let me write these words down so they'll be there for all time. And for a moment when you first read it, you think, okay, good. No, Job is still looking for that sympathy. Why? How long? How long? How long must I endure? How long must I suffer? What have I done? Why? Verse 25. I know my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. He realizes it's not God. God is still my God, my Redeemer. And at the end of all of this, if I can get through it, how long? God says, well, until I'll know my God. I'll know him. I just have to run the race he's laid to be patient in the way that he wants. J. Stowell in the Moody book Fan to Flame says, and I never knew this, I could win this race. I could win this marathon. As a matter of fact, if somebody ever says, Paul, you want to run this kind of race? Sign me up. The Greeks had a race in their Olympic Games that was unique. The winner was not the runner who finished it first. It was the runner who finished with his torch still lit. I want to run all the way with the flame of my torch still lit for him who saved me. You need a visual, I'm sure. Runners go, marathons go. Paul goes, that's boring. What's on the next channel? But in that race, the guy with the torch goes like this. I can do that kind of race. And it requires patience. And that's the race that we're in, folks. That's the world that we live in. How long? We ask and ask and ask. And God says, well, until. Until what? Until you settle down and pay attention. It's getting to be that time of year. And when the movie first came out, I resisted it. I resisted it vehemently. Everyone tried to get me to go see it. Paul, you got to go see this movie. This movie has you written all over it. No, it does not. I am not into musicals except for Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And that's because when Chitty Chitty Bang Bang comes out of the barn. But I didn't want to see this movie. I didn't want anything to do. Singing? But Paul, it's got trains in it. No, it has singing in it. They sing through this dumb movie. I don't want to see no movie about no locomotives where they're singing. They didn't sing in The Great Chase. They didn't sing in The General. They didn't sing in anything else. I am not going to see the Polar Express. No, 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 no. And finally one day somebody said, we're going to watch this movie and you're going to sit there and you're going to be quiet or else. And I said, I need to explain something to you. I am however old I was at that time. I run this show. I'm the man. Would you like some popcorn with that, dear? I'll be good. And we watched it. And now, I can't wait until December, well, the day after Thanksgiving, to watch it again. I'm very careful about that. Each time has its time. Thanksgiving right now. Christmas later. But in that movie, there's a know-it-all kid in there. And he explains, this is a Baldwin locomotive, and he's all about everything. And he runs his mouth, and he's just know-it-all. And if you've ever seen the movie, and they're punching the ticket. At the end, they ask for the tickets again. And the conductor's punching all these really cool words. And he says to the young man, give me your ticket. And as his ticket is punched again, he looks at it, and it reads, lean. He said, hey, what's the meaning of all this? Lean, what's that all about? And the conductor says, I believe it's pronounced learn. The conductor explains the know-it-all's mistake. And the know-it-all looks at him for a minute and goes, oh, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. I'll enjoy the ride home, and gets on the train. How long? Well, until. And for those of you that haven't seen that movie, well, what can I say? You've got to see it. Especially when it shows up the first time, I'm done. It is the human condition for us to say, how long? And here is something. We are God's children. We are children in our infancy. We will never be complete and made whole until we see Him again in heaven and our righteousness is complete. And we will whine and we will ask how long when we're in the depths of it. Publius Syrius in 42 BC said, anyone can hold the helm when the sea is calm. Florence Chadwick wanted desperately to be a great speed swimmer. That's all she thought about. When she was 6 years old, she had persuaded her parents to let her enter into a 50-yard race, and she came in dead last. So she practiced every day for the next year, and again she entered and lost. When she was 11 years old, she won attention and praise for completing a San Diego Bay endurance swim. 6 miles! But she still wanted to be a speed swimmer. So at 14, she tried for the National Backstroke Championship, but came in second to the great Eleanor Holm. At 18, she tried out for Olympic speed swimming, came in fourth. Only three made the team. Frustrated, she said, "How long?" and gave up. She quit. God told her at that moment, well, until, but she wasn't listening yet. She got married. She moved on to other interests. She had children. As she matured, however, she began to wonder if she might not have done better if she had specialized in endurance swimming, something that she did so naturally. How long? Well, until. So with the help of her father, she started swimming again. Distances, great distances. 12 years after she failed to make the Olympic team, Florence Chadwick swam the English Channel, breaking Gertrude Erdley's record, which stood for 24 years. She said it took a little time, but she found out what she could do and did it best. Well, until. One of the hardest things about being a pastor is looking out at empty pews. It's a frustrating thing because we think this is a pastor thing. Not you all. This is a pastor thing. And I don't know, probably just me. But when we walk through that door on Sunday morning, we get lost in this thing where we need to see side to side, front to back. People just packed in there just waiting to hear the words to pour from our mouth. Because we know the Word of God. We come in, we're armed to the teeth. And then we look and it doesn't grow and things don't happen the way it does. And things aren't going the way you expect it. And you start to curiously question. And I do. How long? How long? How long? Well, I already know what the answer is. Because every now and then he reminds me, well, until I tell you different, until it's time, you will continue to be patient and you will bring my word and you will tell people about my son and you will make sure that people have a chance to know it until it's time for you not to do it anymore. Well, when is that? That's none of your business. And he's right. Hey, there's a lot of mornings. A lot of times I wake up going, I don't know if I've got the sermon. I don't know. All of a sudden, there it is. That's, well, until. Just keep me on track. Teach the patience we need. Imagine God in all His wisdom telling you, well, until. Imagine this. Imagine asking Jesus one day, how long, how long, how long, how long? Oh, what joy is this? Oh, what joy divine. You know what you need to do? Leaning on the everlasting arms. That's what that song was written about. And if you're curious about what well until, the answer is, I know. Would you like me to share it with you? Would you like the answer? Say amen. Amen. Well, that's kind of pitiful. Maybe you don't want to know. I heard people on the other side of the camera make more noise than you did. Say amen.
Amen.
Well until is when we cross that threshold and Jesus looks right at us and says, welcome home. How long have you had to wait? Well, until. And it was worth it. Brothers and sisters, as we approach this week to come, as we approach whatever's going on, we look at Job. Job 19 is only halfway through his suffering yet. And yet he endures. We can ask how long. It's okay. Just as long as we remember that well until has the greatest reward ever. Our time with our Savior for eternity. How long? Well, until. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that You have given us these words to ponder on today, Father. We thank You that You have given us fervor, that You've given us power to think about these things, that You will open the Scriptures to us where and when we need it. That while we struggle sometimes with why and where, we need to be reminded that we are learning to lean for you, on you, with patience, understanding, and endurance, so that one day we'll hear the words, "Welcome home, child. Welcome home." How long, God? Well, until you say so. And that's okay with us. Bless each and every one of us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.